الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة قالوا وتجعل فيها من يفتل فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون وقال تعالى في مقام آخر قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected Ulama, elders, brothers, young ones in Islam, before starting our talk proper, the habit of our respected Ustad and Sheikh, Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib Dawood Barakatuh, is to remind ourselves of one sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It's one extremely important sunnah. It comes in the hadith, إِذَا كَبَّرَ الْإِمَامُ فَكَبِّرُوا. When the Imam says takbir, then you also must say takbir. So we find many people, especially the Hanafis, because when we are in madrasa, we learn that is not necessary for the Hanafis to read behind the Imam. The Imam will read, we don't have to read. So what happens is that normally a person, our Qirat, the only thing we mustn't read is the Qirat. But besides the Qirat, everything else in the Salat we must read. So when the Imam says Allahu Akbar, we also must say Allahu Akbar. Only when he says Sami Allahu Liman Hamida, we will say Rabbana wa Lakal Hamd. But besides that, in every other posture, we must say the Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So what happens a lot of times, you're standing next to somebody, the Imam says Allahu Akbar, the person goes into Ruku, you hear the Subhana Rabbi al-Azim 3 times or 5 times, loud he reads it. But he doesn't read the takbir. Whereas just as important as reading the takbir and going, the Subhana Rabbi al-Azim is sunnat, similarly the takbir also is sunnat. And the first takbir is takbir at-tahrima, that's faraz. So here also many people, you see them starting their salat, they're following the imam, so they lift up their hands and they close their hands, and they start their salat. Salat doesn't even start at all. The first takbir is faraz ayn, it's compulsory for a person to read it. The end of salah to make the salam assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah is wajib, is compulsory. So we should be very particular. We should read it and look into our own salahs. One day I asked one mufti also, asked him, is it necessary to read the takbir? So he also was confused. He wasn't sure, like, is it necessary or not? And I realized maybe he's also not reading the takbir himself because he was thinking about the question. So really look into our salahs. It's a very important point. The first salah is takbir, is farz ayn. We have to say the takbir. So don't just lift up our hands. There was one person who accepted Islam and he never knew. He said he must always follow whatever the Imam says. So over 10 years he was performing Salat, just lifting up his hands and starting his Salat. The Faraz Namaz. And the Sunnah and Nafl we are reading. But the more important is the Faraz. And the Faraz, the person is leaving it out. So this is one important Masala, a great Sunnah also. And the second one is that in the 3 rakat Namaz or 4 rakat Salat, then in the last 2 rakat, it's compulsory for a person to read Surah Fatiha and Surah, besides the Faraz Namaz. In the Faraz Namaz, you only read Surah Fatiha. But in a sunnat namaz and in a witr namaz and in a nafal namaz, it's compulsory in the 3rd rakat and the 4th rakat to read Surah Fatiha and a surah. Last year in the Ramadan we mentioned this masala, and one person came to me, told me for the past, from the time I've been small, maybe now in the 60s or whatever, I never knew this masala. I only used to read Surah Fatiha in the 3rd rakat. Whereas it is compulsory, it's wajib according to the Hanafi Mazhab, you must read Surah Fatiha and a surah. In all the 4 rakats, in all 3 rakats, whatever you're reading, only in the Faraz Salat, then it is sunnah to read Surah Fatiha only. And if a person even reads a surah also, there's no harm also in it, in the 3rd rakat or 4th rakat. But the Imam is supposed to make it shorter for the people. So he only reads Surah Fatiha. But in all our other namazes, make sure we are reading our Surah Fatiha and our surah. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings, then with qala rabbuka lil malaika, when Allah said to the angels, I'm going to create a human being, I'm making him the Khalifa on the earth. So the angels were surprised. They went and they looked at human beings and they found inside human beings 2 qualities. They found quwwat al-shahwiyya and quwwat al-ghadabiyya. One quality of shahwat, of desire for things. And one quality of anger.
within human beings. So they say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we can see, if he's going to have these two qualities, the one quality of shahwat and desires, then, أَتَجْعَلُوا فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُوا فِيهَا. Are you going to create people who will cause fasad and trouble in the earth? They will commit zina, adultery, fornication. People just want to fulfill their desires. And the other thing is, they will get so much of anger in them, that eventually they will start murdering people, killing people. You want to create people, human beings like this, yeah? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, don't worry. إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. What you do not know, I know. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed, and the angels began to understand that these two qualities, if they are left unrestrained, then obviously a person will commit all of these evil actions. But if a person learns to control these two qualities, the quwwat al-shahwiyah, the desires within a person, love for something, it will lead a person to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest love in this world is the love of Allah ta'ala. This is called al-hubb fillah, the love of Allah ta'ala. And if a person is able to control his anger, quwwat al-ghadabiyah, this anger within a person, he will be create within himself bughd fillah, the hatred for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person will go in jihad, he will actually sacrifice his love for the life for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the greatest form of worship. A person actually sacrifices his life. So these two qualities which Allah ta'ala has created, they are extremely valuable qualities. So today, inshallah, we'll just discuss one quality, the quality of shahwat and desire which is within every person. And also anger is also within a person. A person has to learn to control his anger. But today, inshallah, we'll just discuss about shahwat. The shahwat Allah has created, and yeah, shahwat for many things. You have got desire for food, you've got desire for name and fame, you can desire for many things. But Hazrat Dami Rahmatullah said, Aladul Ashya fi dunya and nisa. The most enjoyable thing in the world which Allah Ta'ala has created, which a person can fulfill his desires, is human folk. Allah has created the desire for a woman in a person. So this is a shahwat and a desire within every one of us. And Hazrat Murana Shahaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah, he used to say that this is one quality if a person can learn to control, he will become a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that this imtihan is very difficult. He said, like, if a person can carry a cow, then for him to carry a sheep is very easy. So you see, this is like carrying a cow. If you can get this under control, all other imtihanat and examinations will become very easy for a person. A person will learn, and he will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very quickly. So you tell, like, from this whole Islah, we're getting many, many benefits. But if there's one thing we can take home, and this was the cry of Hazrat Murana Shahaki Muhammad Asr Sahib Rahmatullah, that every bayan of his, really, he spoke about this here, and he said that this is the epidemic, and this is the pandemic of the time, that people they've lost the desire, the control of the desires, just fulfilling the desires as they want to. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says that Allah has created desires in human beings for two reasons: the shahwat, the desire for women folk, and also a person must enjoy himself. Allah has made halal for him, no problem. You see, the first reason why Allah created this is baqa'un nasal, for your progeny to continue, because that's how mankind will continue as long as the person has relations, and children will be created from there, and this is how the person's progeny will continue. But he says the other reason why Allah has created this desire within a person is to give a person a taste of the enjoyments of Jannat. But just have a taste of the enjoyments of Jannat. As Hazrat Rakim Sahib used to say, don't become advanced Jannati. In Jannat there won't be beards. So you don't have to become advanced Jannati, you remove your beard from now. In Jannat there won't be beards, but in this world you have to keep a beard. So similarly, don't become an advanced Jannati. Take all the lizard and enjoyment in this world, and you deprive yourself in the year after. So, the greatest enjoyment a person gets is from women folk, and the greatest one of the evil which a person leads eventually is to zina and fornication. May Allah protect and save us. Today even outwardly good people who are coming 5 times to the masjid also, but how many of them getting involved in zina? Comes in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when a person makes zina and fornication, then his iman actually comes out of his body, and it hovers above him. And after he's finished the evil action, then the iman might come back into him again. What a severe warning. Imagine a person has to pass away in that condition. May Allah protect and save us. The hadith, it comes, Nabi alayhi salam given so many warnings about zina. For example, when a person commits zina, then he's bringing poverty amongst himself, over himself. Once Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, in the madrasa, he spoke in one jalsa, and he said that one man phoned me. He was a multi-millionaire. And now he phoned me, he said, Mustaf, this is my last 50 cents I phoned you, it's from the call box. I need to meet you very desperately. He lost all of his money. And then Nabi alayhi salam said, because when zina becomes common, and interest becomes common, halat bi ghadabillah, you're bringing out the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disgrace, you want disgrace in this worldly life, you will enjoy yourself. Thodi derki lezzat hamesha ki zillat. For a short while you enjoy yourself with that woman, but then you have to suffer the consequences. It is, but it's enjoyable, definitely. Nobody says it's not enjoyable. But for a short while it's enjoyable, and then after that the consequences, what a person goes through in life. So in this world also, a person is bringing poverty, he's bringing disgrace upon himself. His iman is coming out of his body. And in the year after, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is going past the Jibreel alayhi salam on the night of Mi'raj. And they see one boiling hot pot. And in that pot, very huge in the bottom, and top is very narrow. And the people are boiling and they are screaming in there. And they are screaming, great pain. And they are coming out of that pot and they are reaching the top of it. And then the flames are going down. And they are coming down, all men and women, completely naked. They wanted to enjoy themselves naked in this world. So this is the recompense of that. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, oh Jibreel, who are these people? These are the people of your ummah who used to fornicate, the men and the women folk who used to fornicate. This is the punishment they will continue getting in there. And some narrations actually say the smell which was coming out, the stench which was coming out from there, was like a smelling toilet. May Allah Ta'ala protect and save us from this evil of zina. So how will a person save himself? So Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, Allah's great mercy and kindness upon us, that from the very root Allah Ta'ala has cut it. They don't even get onto it. Hazrat used to say that you're going on an escalator, you go on the top floor, the top of the escalator. The minute you put your leg on the top of the escalator, what happens? Automatically in 5 minutes time, you're going to be in the bottom floor. So Hazrat said, when you're looking top floor, using your eyes, you're looking at the top floor, automatically a few minutes time, you're going to go to the bottom floor. That's why the eyes is going to take a person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so what a beautiful ayat. In one ayat, Allah has given the command, Allah has given us the benefit, and Allah has given us the ilaj and the cure. This is one ayat. Allah said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Allah says, tell the believers, this is the command, tell the believers they must lower their gazes. So, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah, a beautiful point he mentions here, that why did Allah tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Nabi of Allah, you tell the believers. Allah could have said, oh believers, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, khuddu min absarikum, oh believers, lower your gazes. But Allah said, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you tell the believers they must lower their gazes. What's the reason for this? This is the shafqat and the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the connection which Allah ta'ala has got with us. See, normally I tell her, you can tell your son, my son, you know, don't eat haram money, it's very bad for you. Oh my son, you better perform salat. But the thing of shahwat and desire, father feels shy. Hey, my son, you're committing masturbation. He said, Morana, you know, I speak to my son, he's masturbating. I feel too shy. How can I tell him I know that he's masturbating? Or he's got a girlfriend. How can I tell him I know I saw his phone and he got a girlfriend? It's a thing of shyness. A father feels shy also to tell his son. So Allah, because of the love he got for us, Allah said, my banda, I'm watching you, I'm seeing you. You got no shame. You're looking at that woman. You're committing zina. Oh, Nabi, I'm feeling shy. You tell him. Say, how the father will tell his friend, you can't tell my son, please. What a filthy thing he's doing. I say, oh, Nabi, you tell the believers. Tell them. I'm looking at them, I'm watching them. How can they still be looking at those other women? Those ugly, filthy women who are walking around. Yes, they are definitely the dollies, painted dollies. They look a bit nice. But I'm telling you, for your own benefit, يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, lower your gazes. And I'm not asking you to lower all your gazes. And in today's time, lowering the gaze means don't look. It doesn't mean lower the gaze, because many people see today, see, when we look down, we see more things than when we're looking up. Everything is open there also. Or in today's time, now we open our cell phone, we're looking down all the time. I'm lowering my gazes, but you're looking at all the pictures. So lower the gazes means don't look at haram. And Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah says, Allah's great kindness, Allah never make it, we have to press one button, you know, at the bottom of our knees or something. Every time we bend down, press a button, and our eyes close. Like, you know, you get the shutters. When the riots are coming, then they close the shutters. Allah never press, you have to press one button, then your eyes close. Then mistakenly you're going there, and you press a button and you fall down, and that woman thinks you're falling head in heels in love over head over heels in love with her. So Hazrat said, no, Allah made it so easy. Just a flick of a thought, and immediately a person closes his eyes. So Allah said, يَهُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. There was one Mulana Bahadur from Zimbabwe, Rahmatullah Ali, pious person, he came here once. So Hazrat always gave this example, and then once he came here, Hazrat made him give the example to us. He said, the people, the manufacturers of the cars, they learn how to manufacture cars from the Quran. So Mulana said, how is that? So he said, you see, when a person is driving your car, so now you put on your brights, because you can see nicely. So the person puts on his brights, and now he's able to see the whole road properly. But the minute he sees another car coming, that the car will flash him also, he must immediately drop his light. Otherwise, if his brights are on, and the other car's brights are on, the person can get dazzled. He might have met in an accident. So he has to drop his lights. When you drop your lights, then you pass, and the other car passes. So he said, you see the same, they learned from the Quran. Because the Quran says, يَهُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. When you're walking in the street, and you're looking around everywhere, Allah said, look everywhere you want to. 99% of things is halal for you. 1% they give. The four-legged animals, you can look how many you want to. All of them you can look at. But the two-legged animals are dangerous. Don't look at them. So now Allah is saying, lower your gazes. So But the car is going, I mean, that person is looking around everywhere. Now you see the operator on. But that woman is walking now. So now, Allah says, lower your gazes. Put down, dab your lights. She dabs her lights, you dab your lights, you walk past the one another, no problem. But if your brights are on and her brights are on, and you're looking at one another, there the two cars, they met in an accident. Huge accident. And the whole family was destroyed. Here you meet in an accident, your iman can be destroyed. So many people have left, lost their iman at the time of death because of not looking after their gazes. May Allah protect and save us. So Allah is saying first the command, كُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَقُدُّوا مِنْ أَفْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. By means of looking after your gazes, you will be able to protect your private parts, you will be able to save yourself from zina. Then Allah Ta'ala says, now what benefit will I get? Such a hard command. Lower your gazes. So inshallah, if you get time, I'll try to mention a few benefits which a person will get by lowering his gazes. In dunya also and in akhirat also. Because Allah says, ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. Azka, the ulama have given two meanings. One meaning is azka. Azka means to purify. This is extremely, it purifies the heart of a person. By lowering your gazes, you're actually purifying your heart. One of the greatest means of tazkiyah and purification for a person is by lowering his gazes. Because through the gaze, everything is going into the heart of a person. What a person is seeing. So, the one thing is, so that's one meaning of it. The other meaning is, azka means anma or anfa'u. It's extremely beneficial for a person fi dunya wal akhirah, in this world and the year after. What are the benefits of looking after our gazes? So inshallah, we'll just mention a few. The first benefit, I've got 10 points mentioned here, but inshallah, whatever time we get, try to mention them. The first benefit a person will get, it comes in a hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the nazar and the gaze is a poisonous arrow from the arrows of shaitan. Not just an arrow. If you want to kill somebody, you shoot him with the arrow. If you hit the arrow, hit his arm, he'll pull out the arrow, and then it's okay after that. But if you want to make sure he dies, you put poison on the arrow. So when the arrow hits him, it doesn't only hit the arm. The arrow immediately, the poison goes through the whole body. So when the person is looking, it's not just an arrow of shaitan, it's a poisonous arrow. It just doesn't go into the eye. It hits the heart, it goes through the whole body. Nazru sahmu min siyami iblis masmumun. It's a poisonous arrow from the arrows of shaitan. Man taraka makhafati. A person who leaves it out for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will change it into iman. He will find the enjoyment of iman in his heart. Today many people say, I don't get enjoyment in my tilawat, I don't get enjoyment in my dhikr. The main reason why we're not getting the enjoyment is Allah is giving the halawat and iman, sweet taste of iman whenever we lower our gazes. Because Allah watches. Allah is looking at that person. Allah's system is, whoever sacrifices anything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives him something far better in return. This is a very great sacrifice. Allah will give you that halawat and sweet taste. We left out the one halawat. That woman, the beauty of that woman. She's beautiful. We left out the enjoyment from her. Allah will give you the halawat of ibadat. The halawat of Quran Sharif. And those enjoyments are far, far superior. May Allah give us the realization of this year. One person came to Hazrat Hakim Sahib. He said, Hazrat, I've been listening to your advices and I tried to lower my gaze. And I'm just feeling very nice in my heart. So Hazrat said, MashaAllah, this is exactly what the hadith theory of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying. But you don't know how to put it in the words of the hadith. The hadith is halawat iman. That's the nice feeling you are getting actually in yourself. And Hazrat Hakim Sahib used to say, Rahmatullah Ali, you people of South Africa and America and Reunion and France and England and all of that, they don't worry too much. There is so much of nakedness around. He said in India-Pakistan is bepardagi. Women don't cover their faces. But in our countries there's uryani. There is nakedness. He said, don't worry. Allah is actually giving out the certificates of iman. Allah is giving it out here. You're going to get so many. You just have to lower your gaze. Each time Allah is going to give you. So you just carry on looking after yourself and you're going to get the halawat and the sweet taste of iman. So this is one great benefit. Second benefit, itminani qalb. Hazrat, I forget his name now. Hazrat Tamir Rahmatullah is Khalifa in Saharanpur. No, he was the Nazim of Saharanpur. Mona Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He said one nice beautiful poem which he heard from Hazrat. Ishki buta me asad, tum karte ho fikre rahat. Dozakh me tum dhunte ho jannat ki khabgahe. He says in the ishki buta, in the love of this woman, oh Asad, you are looking for comfort and in peace. In the fire of Jahannam, you are actually looking for the gardens of Jannat. You're not going to get peace. You look at them, you get a bit of enjoyment. Ulama has given a beautiful example. They say it's like sea water. A person who is thirsty and he drinks sea water, what happens? You don't get enjoyment. Your thirst only increases. For a short while, it's nice. You feel nice. But after 5 minutes, your thirst comes stronger and you become stronger and stronger. You look at one woman, you get enjoyment. Hey, what a beautiful woman. Desire will come stronger. Then you want to look at a third woman, then a fourth woman. You looked at one picture, one movie you saw, you'll never be happy. Second one will come. Third one will come. Fourth one will come. and the desire just increases and increases in a person. So you're looking for comfort in there, you'll never get comfort in there. You'll get pleasure, but you won't get happiness. There's a difference between the two. One is pleasure and one is happiness. So many people make a mistake. They think pleasure is happiness. Pleasure is short-lived. Happiness is something which comes in the heart of a person. Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. This is happiness, which Allah puts in the heart of a person. But it's not pleasure. Pleasure is short-lived. For a short while, you get enjoyment, and then the desire becomes stronger. So this is the second thing which a person will get. He'll get happiness in the heart. Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. You want itminan qalb? You will get this by lowering your gazes. Third benefit, the enjoyment of your wife. You want enjoyment in your wife? Don't look at anybody else's wife. Mat dekho kisi aur ki wife, varna khayega, khane parega, Valium 5. As I used to say, don't look at anybody else's wife, otherwise you'll have to have Valium 5. Valium 5 is the medicine for when people become mad. And, say, and then after Valium 5, you have to take Valium 10. And eventually you'll end up in a mad hospital. So why are you looking at somebody else's wife? Allah has given you your wife. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said once, he's a Nabi of Allah, he also got desire. Nabi alayhi salam was walking and his eyes fell onto a certain woman. Immediately Nabi salam, the desire came in, he came home, he fulfilled his desire with his wife. And then Nabi salam said that shaitan, he beautifies women when they go out. And then he said, فَإِنَّ الْبُدْعَ وَاحِدٌ. Remember, every woman is exactly the same. The enjoyment you're going to get from them is the same. وَمَعَهَا مِثْلُ الَّذِي مَعَهَا. What's with her is also with her. What your wife has got, the other woman has got exactly the same thing. Packaging might be slightly different. One is over pink, one is over yellow, one is orange. The packaging is slightly different, but the contents inside are exactly the same thing. Once the shahwat and desire is finished, it's finished. It's just a deception of shaitan. When a woman comes out of the house, then shaitan beautifies her. But, hey, this is the woman I want. As the Tanwir Rahmatullah said, we've got so much of desire that if a person has to fulfill his desire with every single woman in the world, and there's only one woman left, he'll still think that the desire, the enjoyment which I'm looking for, I'm getting this last woman. So many people say, you know, I've got a second wife, third wife. You got four wives also. Still, that fourth wife, desire will come for the fourth wife now, for the sixth wife. You're not happy. The person won't be. The person has to learn to control himself. To control, there's no problem getting married with four wives. Alhamdulillah, nothing wrong. Allah has given the desire for a person. The person can get married. But what I'm saying is, the person has to learn to control. Even if you got four also, the desire will still be there. As long as you don't make an effort to control your gaze, that it don't come. A person has to make an effort in that line. So this is one hadith Nabi alayhi salam said, that la taznu, don't make zina. Don't fornicate. One is fornication, the actual action, but one is fornication of the eyes. Nabi alayhi salam said, otherwise, فَتَذْهَبَ لَذَّةُ نِسَائِكُمْ. The enjoyment of your woman will go away. When you're looking at haram, the enjoyment of your wife is going to go away. And then Nabi alayhi salam said, that إِنَّ إِبْنَ فُلَانٍ زَنُوا فَزَنَتْ نِسَاؤُهُمْ. So and so people started making zina, and eventually their wives also started making zina. As you do, then that's how you will, it'll hit a person back. So really, if a person learns to control himself, don't look at other haram. We're looking at haram. Ulama have written a G point. They say, you see, whatever is written for, whatever enjoyment a person gets in life is written for him. Whatever money you're going to get in life is written for you. You're going to get a million then. It's written for you, but you got a choice now to take it in the halal way or the haram way. I went, I robbed the bank, I got a million then. Police come tomorrow and lock me up. It was written for me 1 million then for the next 10 years. So I got my million then for 10 years, I got sentenced, 10 years locked up in jail. So I got my million then. But I took it in a haram way and I got disgrace because of this. Another man is working in a halal way. He said, no, I'm not coming to rob the bank. He earns halal. Every month he's getting 2,000-3,000 rand. And in 10 years, he makes his million rand. He's living with izzat, with honor, with respect. He's getting sawab for that. Same of both of them got a million rand. But one took it in a haram way, one took it in a halal way. Whatever enjoyment you're going to get in life is rosy, it's written for you. You're going to get it in your life. You've got a choice now to choose it in a halal way or the haram way. You choose it in the haram way, you're not going to get it. Now the halal way got finished. That amount you're supposed to get enjoyment. Now you come into the, it's only the haram now. So you, the whole day you're going to the shop, you're looking at all other women. As in the Kibsa, Rahmatullah, used to give this beautiful example. You see, a person goes in the morning to his shop, and his wife gives him no food. He's an honorable person, lunchtime comes, his friends got biryani, one guy got akni, one guy got samosas. So if he's an honorable person, he says, I'll go to the musalla, I'll read my namaz there. I'll come back after lunch, I'll act like I finished it. And then at night when I go back home now, when he goes home, what his wife gives dal roti to him. And no salt also inside. But now he's so hungry. Bismillah, he eats that thing with so much of relish and so much of enjoyment. Because he's hungry now. So now he gets that enjoyment in there. So as I say, similarly like how a man has got desire for food, he's got desire for women also. So when he goes to the shop every day, now if a person never has honor, and that woman is walking, I mean that person is asking him, he'll go to him, he's got a watch, he's asking what's the time. He says, lunchtime. He says, hey, so nice biryani you got. Can I join you? He said, he eats a little bit biryani, a little bit akni. And he's having samosas and pies. And he goes home 5 o'clock. His wife brings a dad rotting, starts fighting with her, shouting, "What's wrong? Every day I get the same food." Because now why? Because he already ate nicely. So he's just saying in a similar manner, we all got desire for women. So if you go to the shop, and now all these women, they're walking around, the biryanis and the aknis, and how they're walking around and how they've designed themselves, and you're looking and you're eating a little bit of biryani, a little bit of akniya, a little bit of the samosas, and all of these. Now when you come back home to your dal roti, your wife, see, and she got no salt also. Now you look at her. Hey, my mother, she made a mistake when I got married. She never looked, she wasn't wearing right-side glasses. She got the wrong woman for me. As a result, she used to say that when I got married to her, she was like a Coca-Cola bottle, nice and thin. Now she's like a 20-liter oil drum. And now a person is complaining. But if you never eat, he never eats in the daytime, and he comes back now at night, he's hungry. That 20-liter oil drum will be enjoyable for him also. That woman without salt also, he'll enjoy her. Because why? He looked after his Jesus. Today, most of the people who are having marriage problems, one of the main causes, they're flirting with their secretary in the office. The women folk who are there, they're laughing with them, flirting with them, joking with them. So now there's no enjoyment when they come home. Now they come home, they're not happy. Then they're watching the movies, you're watching TV. One of the greatest harms of watching TV, there are many harms of watching TV. One of the harms of TV is it creates unhappiness in a person, depression in people. Because you're only looking at the people above you in life. And if you got a smart car, you got a better house than me, you got a smarter wife, hey, that woman, she's so pretty. In real life, she's not so pretty also. She's just an actress, she's putting an act. In real life, she's not so pretty. If she was so pretty, then her husband wouldn't be divorcing her. She's already in the third divorce, fourth divorce. She's committing suicide and she's taking drugs and all of the day. Why are they living that life? So what prettiness they've got? They've got nothing inside them. But we get affected by these filthy movies and that. So if a person is looking at all of that, then he's not going to get enjoyment at home. So really when a person lowers his gazes, doesn't look at that, Allah will give him the enjoyment of his wife in this world. His wife will become an enjoyment of Jannah in his life. Fourth benefit, إِفُّ تَعُفُّ نِسَاءُكُمْ. Nabi alayhi salam said, you stay pure, your woman will stay pure. You want your pure wife, so you remain pure. Automatically the system of Allah is you are kind to your parents, Allah will make your children kind to you. You are pure to your woman folk, you remain pure, Allah will keep your women folk pure. This is the fourth benefit. First benefit, Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullah has mentioned, مَنْ حَفِظَ بَصَرَهُ أَوْرَثَهُ اللَّهُ نُورًا فِي بَصِيرَتِهِ. A person who lowers his basarat, his gazes, Allah will give him basirat. Allah will give him the understanding of the heart. Allah will open up understanding of the heart. Allah will give him basirat. With his heart, he'll be able to see many things which other people can't understand. Allah will give him understanding of deen. Many things in life which other people cannot understand, he'll be able to understand by looking after his gazes. Sixth benefit, Mashaykh has mentioned, is a tajruba and experience. You see, whenever in deen, whatever you do a good action, after faraj namaz, you do a good action, it's a very great action. You make duas are accepted. You fast. Fasting is a very great action. At the end of fasting, your duas are accepted. Any guna and sin a person has got desire to do, this is a very great ibadat also. So they say at the end of any ibadat, or that time, when you're making an ibadat, you make duas are accepted. So they say it's their experience, that when the desire comes to look at a woman, at that time a person lowers his gaze, and whatever duas he makes at that time, their experience is that duas are readily accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. So now you looked at that woman, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says, when you look at a woman, there's only sorrow. If you look at a woman, she's very pretty looking. Why can't I get her? You can't get her. Only sorrow. And if she's ugly looking, you say, why did I even look at her? So he said, it's only sorrow. So this, why must a person look even? But yeah, you look down, the pain was there, you wanted to look at her. The desire came in you very strong. But you said, Ya Allah, give me somebody more beautiful than her in Akhirat, Jannat. You never got her, but you're getting somebody much more better. Ya Allah, make my love between me and my wife much more better. Ya Allah, make her beautiful for her husband. Give her tawfiq of covering herself, so she must become a beautiful husband. Why must I look at her? So this, whatever du'as you want to make at that time, because it's a very heavy qurbani and sacrifice, it's the experience of the mashayikh, that whatever du'as the person makes at that time, his du'as are readily accepted. The seventh benefit is, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be many eyes crying. كُلُّ عَيْنٍ بَاكِيَةٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا عَيْنًا غَدَتْ عَنْ مَحَارِ اللَّهِ عَنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ. Every eye will be crying on the day of Qiyamah, besides a few eyes. And one eye, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a person who lowered his gaze from haram things, Allah will make that person, he will not be crying on the day of Qiyamah. And he lowered his gazes for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, so Allah Ta'ala will not make him cry on the day of Qiyamah. The eighth benefit, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that to reach a wilayat khasa, very quickly to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is when a person breaks his heart. Every time you're breaking your heart, and then Allah will eventually build up that heart, and that connection to Allah will be very extremely quickly. He says a thousand years of tahajjud namaz, it won't make a person reach Allah ta'ala as fast as when a person breaks his heart for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala, and the desire is within a person, and now he connects himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat has given a whole example of it, when a person is a whole example, there's an earthquake, and the buildings are all destroyed, and the government themselves say, come, we are coming there, and we're going to rebuild everything. So when a person breaks his heart for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, the government, Allah Ta'ala himself will say, I will rebuild that heart of that person. So it's a pain on the person's heart. Definitely we feel pain. But when you bring that pain in your heart, in the beginning it's extremely difficult. As a person makes that qurbani and sacrifice, it becomes easier and easier. Allah give us tawfiq. So this is the 8 benefits. 9 benefits is a person will be granted the sight of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has mentioned a deep point. He said, think of everything which Allah has created. Our legs. Why did Allah create our legs? So we can walk in Jannah. Why did Allah create our mouth and the stomach so we can eat the enjoyments of Jannah? And he said, why did Allah create our eyes so we can see Allah Ta'ala in the year after? He said, of all the bounties in Akhirah, the greatest bounty is to see Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He said, when the greatest bounty is to see Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in the year after, how can a person use that bounty? He said, this bounty is supposed to be honored, supposed to be respected, most amount of dignity is supposed to be given to it. How can I put filth and dirt into my eyes and then expect to see Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in the year after? May Allah Ta'ala protect and save all of us. We are all involved in this because the sin is around this person so much. It's so easy for a person to fall into these sins. And some ulama say that, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. For every good a person has done, Allah will grant him. So one is to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in place of that also, there's one narration, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu has mentioned, that when a person lowers his gaze, then Allah will give him 1/4 of Jannat. For every gaze he lowers down. So you've got, instead of Hura Teen, those hurs are made of sand. Rather get the Hura Een. Those beautiful women of Jannat, every time you're lowering your gaze, so this thing, I'm getting 1 hour of Jannat. What's the benefit of looking at these women? So may Allah give us tawfiq. So Allah Ta'ala said, yeah, this is the benefit. Thalik azka lahum. And then Allah gives us a solution. How will a person protect himself? Inna Allah khabirum bima yasnaun. Allah is fully aware exactly of what you are doing. Once a person has got this, Allah is watching me, then it becomes easy for a person. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say that you got one man, beautiful woman, the most beautiful woman in town, completely naked. Now don't start pondering and thinking about it. Just give you an example. And they're walking around in the streets. And the father comes to you and the father says, whoever looks at my daughters, I'm going to shoot them dead. I got a gun. He got a gun in his hand. And you know this man, he won't speak lies. Now, despite the desire within yourself, you want to look at this woman. But how you lower your gaze? Because you know my life is valuable. Why am I, if I look at this woman for 10 seconds, what benefit am I going to get? This guy will shoot me. So because of that, you know the man is watching you and he's got a control over you. His hand, the gun is right by your head. So a person, no matter how beautiful this woman are, how they're walking, what styles or whatever, a person will never look at them. Because he knows the gun is at my head. Allah said, Inna Allah khabirun. Don't you know Allah is watching you? Allah is watching exactly what you are doing. Don't you know Allah has got full control over you? Inna khadallahu samakum wa absarakum. If Allah has to take away your eyesight, man ilahun ghayrullah. Who is another Allah besides Allah, another God besides Allah will bring it back? Allah can take it away. But Hazrat used to say, don't look at this ayat in a negative way. Alam ya'alam bi anna Allah is an easy ayat. Don't you know Allah is watching? Allah is fully aware exactly of the qurbani and sacrifice that you are making. At that moment, nobody else knows about it. This is an action which is done with complete ikhlas and sincerity. Namaz and zakat and all of the day. Maybe there isn't so much of sincerity. Yeah, nobody is watching you. And you're lowering your gaze. That phone, you got it in your hand. Even bigger imtihan now. You can watch. Your wife doesn't know. Nobody knows. You're sitting alone in your office. You can go on the computer and watch. But this is a real ikhlas and sincerity. Even the angels don't know what sacrifices are, what desires are going through your heart. But my Allah is watching me. Inna Allah khabirum bima yasnaun. Allah is watching. Allah is fully aware exactly of what is going through your heart and the qurbani and the sacrifices you are making. So this is the one that actually the most important thing is to bring this realization in my heart. Alam ya'alam bi anna Allah yara. How will a person get this? Hazrat Amir rahmatullah say that zikr is very important. It's a mu'in. It helps a person. Zikrullah, tilawat of Quran. You must be very particular. As soon as you see your zikr becomes a bit less, you're not making your zikr, you'll see you start falling down. Many people, you ask them, Simonana, I was controlling my gazes, but then I stopped. Are you making a zikr? You know, I got a bit lazy for the past 2 weeks. So you're not making a zikr, obviously now you've got no strength in yourself. So zikr is definitely a mu'in. But Hazrat Ami rahmatullah said the actual thing is himmat and courage. Zikr will help a person, give the courage to that person, his namaz which he is reading, and suhbat of the awliya Allah, company of the pious people, that also gives a person a lot of himmat and courage. You sit in the company of pious people, you see they are also managing it. They are human beings like us. How are they managing it? So I can also get that courage, I can also do it. So that's also a person. So the first thing we need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has got the sickness. Tahir qulubana min al-nifaq. Wa ayunana min al-khiyana. Allah purify my eyes from khiyana, from cheating. Breaking your commands. So make dua to Allah ta'ala. At least firstly realize that you know what, I've got the sickness within myself. I am sick, I need treatment for it. I'm a patient. I need to come out of this sickness. And every one of us, we all step and make mistakes. The minute we make a mistake, make tawbah, istighfar. You're sitting in an aeroplane. It's always one away. So the Kim Sahib Rahmanji always mentioned about the aeroplane. Because the aeroplane is one place where maybe, like you have Mawlana sitting in a darul, you're not seeing any woman. But in an aeroplane, now there's air hostesses, the way they dress themselves and the way they come in front of a person, the person has gone for Umrah. And you're coming back from Umrah. And in one gaze, you're losing all the anwarat and barakat. Ulama mentioned that in one gaze, all anwarat and barakat the person got for 4 months, just one gaze, everything comes out. And they say, now to get it back again, you make tawbah, you won't get it back again. The next time you'll get it back is when some other opportunity arises. And now a person, a few times it happens, he looks at, he wants to look at a woman, he doesn't look, then some of that denur will come back to a person. But imagine losing everything out just because of looking at that woman. And this disease, it remains in a person until most. A person can be an 80-year-old man, colder than a deep freeze also. But that man still, the desire to look at woman is still there. I met one person once, about 78 years, he told me, no, I got this problem. I don't know, I'm working in a shop and this woman come here, but I just love and enjoy looking at this woman. I can't stop myself from them. So they say when you become old, their brakes become weak also. It becomes stronger actually for a person to lower his gaze. When you are young and you do it, it becomes easier for a person to control himself thereafter. So this is a few points. One is to make intention daily. I'm not going to look when you're going out. To make wudu. Wudu silah al-mu'min is the weapon of a believer. Then whenever we make a mistake, to make tawbah. Then to get himmat and courage within ourselves. And Hazrat also mentions one very easy way is salat, our namaz. In our namaz, look after our gazes. If a person practices when he's performing his salat and looking after his gazes, then inshallah, out of namaz, it becomes easy for a person to look after his gazes. So this is one important point also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability. Hazrat Yusuf, they don't look at white, don't look at black. Look at the one who is created. Inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are looking at, you know, maybe she's not so pretty. Let me just see if she's pretty or not. If she's not pretty, I'll look down after her there. So there's all deception of shaitan, how he comes in and it troubles a person. Rather you say that, you know, that when desires come into a person, then how it affects the person. You say, you know, you see a chua, the mouse. When the cat comes out, then he doesn't care where it runs. It runs into a white hole, or it runs into a black hole, or it runs into a disease-infected hole, whatever it is. You say, because that he wants to run away from it. The cat is going to chase it, he's going to catch him. You say, your chua, your mouse also. You say, when the desires overcome a person, he's looking in all of this here. And he also, at that moment, he doesn't look where he's going to. He's going to a black hole, he's going to a white hole, AIDS-infested hole. He doesn't care at all. Just he wants to fulfill his desires. So may Allah Ta'ala protect and save all of us. If we just learn this lesson, inshallah, at least the fikr comes into ourselves. I need to lower my gazes. I need to protect myself. I'm still falling into the guna. I'm speaking for myself. Allah give me first the tawfiq. And today, because the evil has become so common with the cell phone, a person is just looking on the cell phone and where now his eyes goes. And how many gunas a person falls into, at least the minimum we start making tawbah, asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, and think of all of these benefits. And one of the easiest ones, as I mentioned, is at that moment, just lower your gaze and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And see how inshallah Allah Ta'ala will take a person out of these gunas. In the beginning it's difficult, but a small baby, he falls down 100 times, but then eventually he starts walking. So don't lose hope. Even if 100 times in one day you made the same mistake, but each time you make tawbah, Allah forgive me, Allah. Look again, make tawbah again. Tomorrow it'll be 50 times. After 1 week, it will be 30 times. And after 1 year, it will be 1 time, 2 times. And then eventually, a person will come out. So it might not happen overnight, it will change. But if you're on the path, inshallah, Allah will make it easy for a person. Allah grant myself and all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.